CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 P. Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Tampa's main airport will shut down at midnight tonight ahead of the midweek arrival of tropical storm Idalia. The Weather Channel's Chris Warren warns.
Along with the strong winds, dangerous, life-threatening storm surge is going to be a very real concern. If people are told to evacuate, they need to evacuate. There is a lot of very warm waters for this storm to strengthen. And with that, a lot of water likely pushed onshore.
CBS's Christian Benavides on one possible problem.
There are concerns of a potential fuel contamination here in Florida. Citgo officials say that at least 29 gas stations, diesel fuel was found mixed into regular gasoline, which can cause cars to malfunction.
A suspect is in custody after a deadly shooting on the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill campus. CBS's Jeff Pagaz reports.
The alert went out, first of a person armed and dangerous, and then...
The gunshot victim is going to be in room 159.
I'm grieved to report that one of our faculty members was killed in this shooting.
Tense moments in a lockdown that lasted hours.
The motive is still unclear. The Saturday shooting of three black people by a white man at a Dollar General store in Jacksonville, Florida, is being investigated as a hate crime. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez is in Jacksonville.
The FBI and local authorities continue to review the racist messages left behind by the shooter and say they will eventually make them public. Also, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced a $1 million award for Edward Waters University to help bolster campus security.
The judge in former President Trump's federal case related to alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election results has set a trial date. CBS's Robert Costa.
The March 4th, 2024 trial date, when Trump will face criminal charges for his efforts to overturn the 2020 election, will take place the day before Super Tuesday, when voters in 14 states across the country cast ballots in primary elections.
Samuel Joseph Wurzelbacher was known as Joe the Plumber during the 2008 presidential campaign and rose to national fame when he pressed Barack Obama about his tax plan.
My name is Joe Wurzelbacher.
Good to see you, Joe.
I'm getting ready to buy a company that makes $250,000 to $270,000 to $280,000 a year. Your new tax plan is going to tax me more, isn't it?
Wurzelbacher has died of pancreatic cancer. He was 49. Hawaiian Electric Company acknowledges that its power line started a wildfire on Maui. But the utility company is blaming firefighters, saying they declared the blaze contained and left the scene, only to have a second deadly wildfire break out nearby. A Maui County attorney says it's the utility's fault. This is CB.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Katagis, to all of our friends and relatives in all four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we discuss local and national Native news and events here on Native Roots. And today I'm stepping up to the host mic again for Robert Pilot, as he is live at the Minnesota State Fair. My name is Haley Cherry, and my Native name is Shashaphe Wangaweneek, which means Little Eagle Princess in the Hoak language, and I'm a descendant of my family in the Eagle Clan of Ho-Chunk Nation, Wisconsin. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition. And I just wanted to say how much we appreciate NAC and all the work that Dr. Stately does in the community there down on the American Indian Cultural Corridor on Franklin Avenue. Speaking of NAC, we were out at the fair yesterday along with a lot of great other Native organizations, and they were one of the many organizations that were out there tabling. And we also got to talk with Native organizations such as Spirit Care Services, which also helps giving care and compassion to our elders in the community. On the line here, and if you're joining us on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, you can see our State Fair cam, as we've got host Robert Pilot on there, as well as his daughter, Jaleesa McKee, my cousin. So hey guys, how's it going? I know we got you on the line too. How's it going?
It's going good. We're out here at the fair, the Minnesota. I like how you put that. I'm going to get T-shirts made that next year, Haley. The Minnesota great sweat together. Today it's a little warm and it's a Monday, but seeing a lot of friends and relatives coming to Native Roots Trading Post at the where Jaleesa and her sister Maiweha are holding down the fort. I just want to have my daughter here, Mahinu, introduce herself in a good way.
Thanks for having me. Hi, Haley. It's good to be here with you all and all the listeners. My name is Chashep Bakahawinga, Holy Eagle Woman, Jaleesa McKee, and it's great to be here.
Good to see you. Good to hear from both of you. I know we were celebrating at the State Fair yesterday, Minnesota State Fair. They had Indigenous People's Day. And that event was hosted by Native's Indigenous Food Lab, which is North American Traditional Indigenous Food Systems. And this year's theme was environmental and food justice for the Indigenous people in Minnesota. And I know there was a lot of stuff going out there in Dan Patch Park yesterday. I know we all were able to attend and we had a really great time. I know, Robert, you got to speak with a former employee and one of our friends that we really love seeing in the community, Misko. And I know you got a really great interview with her. So why don't we dive right into that and go ahead and take a listen.
Hey, thanks, Haley. Hey, I am here with
Misko Gimme One.
Good to see you, Misko. And you just got done performing here, and it's at, talking during Indigenous Peoples Day here at the Minnesota State Fair. The Minnesota Great Sweat Together, I think it's called.
No, yeah, I'm so glad to be here. So just to formally introduce myself, Misko Gimme One Indigenakas, Makwa Indode Moswakinek and Ndunjiba. Hello, my relatives, all that are listening. My name is Misko Gimme One. I am Bear Clan from Lac de Flambeau, Wisconsin. And today here at the State Fair, I am with a dance troupe, and we are sharing our dance styles, sharing the stories. And it was super fun to be here and, you know, celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day.
You know, you had a really good quote. Could you, do you mind saying the quote again about what you were wearing?
Yeah, so the dance regalia that we wear, we call it our dance outfits or dance regalia. We don't call it a costume, because when you're in a costume, you're trying to look like someone else. And so when we're wearing our dance regalia, we are representing ourselves, we're representing who we are, our families and our communities. And everything that I wear, it's all handmade. You can't go to the store and buy it. Every piece that's sewn, every bead that's on my regalia, I handmade it myself, or I've had friends or family help me. So yeah.
Yeah, so it's not a costume. Try, and people, allies out there listening, try and change your verbiage. I know it's always interesting to try and talk to us in certain ways, but that's a really great point where it's our regalia. Just try to remember that. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, and as a Native American, so I'm Dakota and Anishinaabe, I love sharing my culture. I love teaching people. And so, you know, everyone is always welcome. Everyone is always welcome to celebrate our culture with us. And, you know, don't be shy to ask questions. I'm always willing to share what I know and to celebrate my culture.
So I'm wondering, too, just to wrap this up, I'm wondering, Misko, do you come to the fair often?
I've been here the past couple years to do performances. And so, you know, tomorrow is Monday. The next day would be Tuesday. I have 3 performances each day starting at 3. My last performance will be at 6. And so, you know, I always come out wherever I can. And I am very honored to be able to share my culture, share my dancing, share my energy. Yeah.
And that's like in the International Market Square where you'll be performing on that. What is it called again?
I believe it's called the International Bazaar Stage. And yeah, there will be other dancers, not just myself. So men, women dance styles. I am usually dancing 2 dance styles. So I have a jingle dress dance, and then I also share my fancy shawl dance.
You know, and I know over the years, even with my bad knees, I was able to jump up on the stage with you at the end, and that's always fun to have a participation with the audience.
Yeah, it's always super fun. And I was so grateful because my little brother, we finally had an outfit for him, and he was able to come up and dance. And so we're always welcome to share the teachings, to share our dance styles, and we encourage anyone to come up and come and dance with us.
Okay, what's your favorite food here at the fair?
I don't usually indulge in fair food. You know, as a dancer, I try to keep my body in shape. Even when I go to powwows, they have like fry bread and everything. But, you know, I usually try to eat fruits, drink water, keep myself hydrated, and keep my body ready for the next time I am able to dance.
So do you and your significant other, do you guys go on any rides or anything?
I'm going to try to get him on rides. I know he is wary of the rides here, but I enjoy rides.
Awesome. So, hey, one last thing. So Monday and Tuesday, you're going to be, let's let all our listeners know, where you're going to be.
Yeah, so it's the International Bazaar Stage. It's, I believe, in the southeast corner of the State Fair. I know they have multiple performances there, but my dance troupe, we will be there Monday and Tuesday. We have 3 performances starting at 3, and our last performance is at 6. So I'm looking forward to seeing everyone there.
You do such a great job, and you're such a great person, and and a great example of a good relative in our community. I just want to say a big peeny gigi and thank you so much for spending some time with us on, and as you have in the past years, on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, it's an honor to be a former student of yours, to be a former employee, and just to be a relative of yours. And it's always important for me to represent myself, my family, and my community in that way. So, miigwech, thank you for speaking with me today.
Well, Pini Gigi, thank you so, so much, Misko. Hey, back to you, Haley.
Wow, Pina Gigi, Misko, thank you so much. You know, right back at you when you talk about being a great relative in the community. I mean, really, you are just a great example of that, and a great dancer and a great artist, as always. And like you said too, just talking about regalia and not using the term costume, you know, when referring to the powwow dancers and what they are wearing, and just be respectful and ask questions always if you can take pictures. So, and we got to take a quick break here, but we'll be right back, and stay tuned, because our next interview, we've got Amber Annis on with Robert. Stay tuned. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
As we emerge from the shadows of the pandemic, let us celebrate our resilience and embrace the path to a brighter future. While the COVID-19 emergency declaration may be over, our commitment to safety remains stronger than ever. We invite you to stand tall and protect what matters most, our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. The power to keep our community safe lies within each one of us. It's important to remember the basics when you're with someone who might be at risk of COVID complications. Wear your mask, wash your hands often, and take an at-home COVID test if you have any symptoms. We are a strong and interconnected community, and together we'll emerge from this challenge stronger than ever. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep the spirit of our Native American culture thriving. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, Katagi. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. This is Haley Cherry, or less known as Shashep Haywangawaynik in the Howak language of Ho-Chunk Nation, Wisconsin, stepping up to the host mic today for our host, Robert Pilot, who is live day 5 at the Minnesota State Fair. Robert and Jaleesa, you guys are on our State Fair cam here on our Facebook and YouTube Live. How's it going?
It's warm.
It's going great. Yes, a little warmer than the last few days.
Hey, I just want to, and I was going to try and say this Friday, but you did a great job hosting the show and ignoring me. I wanted to say a really big peeny gigi to all the people that listen to us on the radio that stopped by the Native Roots Trading Post in the West End Market and saying hi. It really means a lot to me, one, that you spend that time to come out there, your own time to come out to see us at the fair. but also your support for our radio show over the years. It's a big deal. So if you see any, if you see my daughter here, Jaleesa, or my other daughter, Jelaine, tell them that I sent you to get a $20 Resist shirt. That's only people that are listening to this. There's a special. I think you can't mention price. I don't think you can mention prices.
Oh.
So there's an exclusive shirt. I think it's illegal to mention prices now that I think of it. So there's a discount shirt. Just say you listen to Native Earth Radio. Oh,
there you go. Yeah, head out there. If you're going out to the fair, check out West End Market, Native Roots Trading Post. Go get yourself a discounted Resist shirt. $20. We got those. I just wore mine out there yesterday. Got a ton of compliments on it, as well as a ribbon skirt I purchased from Shock Peace Powwow. I believe that was Sharon Flores, I want to say. I think she made that ribbon dress that I had on. But anyways, yesterday, Indigenous Peoples Day out at the State Fair, had a great time. We saw NACDI was tabling, Native American Community Development Institute, and NAC, Native American Community Clinic, was out there as well, as well as Minnesota Missing Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office, who we got the chance to speak to. We talked about spreading awareness across the state of Minnesota and reservations about our missing and murdered relatives. And there's a big search going on up in the Bemidji area, I want to say, this September for one of our missing relatives. And I believe she's been missing for 2 years. So pay attention to what MMIWR is doing, and check out the resources in any way that you can help. But Robert Dega, I heard you were out there in... at the State Fair yesterday, and we got a great interview with Amber Ennis, who is the director of Native American Initiatives at the Minnesota Historical Society. So why don't we go ahead and take a listen and see what Amber Ennis has to say.
Hey, thanks, Haley. God, I'm still here at the fair, and it's a Native American Heritage Day here at the Minnesota State Fair, and I have another special guest. Can you please introduce yourself?
Amber Ennis Imanchiapi. Hello, everyone. My name is Amber Ennis. I'm the Director of Native American Initiatives at Minnesota Historical Society. I'm Lakota and a citizen of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I know you guys, I see in the community all the time, and I've been able to see a lot of the things that are going down in the Minnesota Historical Society. So it's really my privilege to be talking to you. What's going on? What's happening down there at the museum?
Oh, thanks so much. You know, it's the end of summer, so we have wrapped up several of our programs. Our museum fellows just wrapped up. That was an amazing 10-week experience for these awesome undergraduates who have learned more about the museum field. We also are just starting our Native American Artists in Residence program. Applications are opening soon. And also our Native Teen program. We're looking forward to bringing that back this winter. A program for 5 students in the Twin Cities metro area. Learn a little bit more about Native culture and history at our museums.
Oh my God, I'm sitting here going, that's a lot going on. And I got to just say too, it's really exciting to after all these years to have, you know, us Natives there in the front lines of our history.
Absolutely. My department, Native American Initiatives, that's exactly what we do. We are a small team, but we do a lot. It's completely a Native-run team. Native representation is very important to us. As we always say, museums have a responsibility to Native communities and Native people, and that's exactly what our department does. The most important thing to us is to make sure that Native folks, that they have access and that they belong at the Historical Society, and we do everything we can to make sure that people know that.
You know, and history is so important in telling all sides of the history, and we have a lot of things to be thankful for being here in this great state of Minnesota, but also there's some gray and darker sides of it that, you know, I know you guys are not afraid to talk about.
Oh, absolutely not. You know, we always tell folks that the work that we do is really rooted in healing, and it's really rooted in addressing those traumas that the Historical Society and other places have created. And so that's a big, beautiful part of the work that we do, is that, people are coming into a place that they don't feel comfortable, and we want to make sure that they know that the items that we are stewards of, the sites that we are stewards of, that they are cared for by Native people. But beyond that, these are our things, and we want want Native folks to know that we are caring for them and that you are allowed to be able to come and see them and be around relatives.
Wow, that's awesome. So I know there's been an initiative, you know, over the last couple of years, and I've had a lot of fun. You've partnered with the Star Tribune, a newspaper here in the Twin Cities, about pictures and that were in the paper, and you know, who do you know who this person is? And it's been really fun to see you guys tabling at all these great things. But now it's coming to a head in a sense. You got something coming up here soon.
We absolutely do. The opening of Reframing Our Stories is October 21st. We're really looking forward to it. The whole exhibit is really on the lack of Native representation in media. So we have taken all these historical photographs from the Star Tribune. And when they came to us, they were in folders that were just labeled Indians. And so we in Native American Initiatives partnered with the folks down in collections. And these images and the stories just revealed so much about the beautiful Twin Cities Native communities, how much community organizing and work everyone has done. But the hard part, as we know, is that perspective is often comes from non-Natives. And then that comes with assumptions and stereotypes and inaccuracies. So we're calling this Reframing Our Stories because we want to bring these images back, these stories back, but tell them from our perspective.
Wow, that's great. Let's go one more date on that grand opening, and then I got some fair questions to ask you.
October 21st at the Minnesota Historical Society Native American Initiatives Department. Please come.
And then we can find all the information on your website and your Facebook?
Absolutely.
And what is the calling letters on that? It's like, do you have a Facebook?
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
Yeah. So you can actually go to www.mnhs.org/NAI, and you can learn a lot more about our exhibits and a lot of the work that we're doing out of our department.
Excellent. I didn't mean to trick you there, but no problem. So, all right. We're at the fair, so what's your favorite fair food?
Well, I'm a really boring person, and I know there's amazing fair food, but I always stick to the classics. I like a deep-fried Oreo, I like the deep-fried pickles, and I like the roasted corn.
Perfect. And, you know, do you do any rides? Because I know for me, they're dangerous. I hurt my tailbone a few years ago, and now I don't go on any rides.
No, the only riding I do is walking around, watching all the folks enjoy the rides.
Thank you so much for stopping in Native Roots Radio, and we got to have you guys on more often because of all the great work you do.
Oh, absolutely. Pilami Aye. We really appreciate you so much.
Pini Gigi. Hey, back to you, Haley.
Wow. Thanks so much, Amber. You guys, that was Amber Annis of the Cheyenne River Lakota, and she is the director of the Native American Initiatives at the Minnesota Historical Society here. She works with several departments and sites across the Minnesota Historical Society to ensure that Native representation and content are developed in an accurate and appropriate manner. So big pina gigi to you, Amber, and thank you for taking the time to join us here on Native Roots Radio. I know we just got a couple minutes left here before we got to go to a break, but I think it's really important to share this MMIWR statistic here. So I don't know, a lot of our Natives may know this, but probably not a lot of our allies. Although American Indian women and girls make up just 1% of the state's population from 2010 through 2018, 8% of all, sorry, I'm picking up a little echo. There we go. Okay, you guys. So just through 2010 through 2018, 8% of all murdered women and girls in Minnesota were American Indian, even though we just make up 1% of the state's population. And from 27 to 54 American Indian women and girls in Minnesota were missing in any given month from 2012 to 2020. You guys, and there are so many of our missing relatives that are still missing that have never been found, and that people just won't even give the time or day to continue those searches. And that's a big part of what MMIWR is trying to raise awareness for and keep those funds going for the lands and the tip lines for our missing relatives. So we got to take a quick break here, but stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Be a vaccinative. It's time to come together and talk about the urgent need to stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations to protect our heritage, our loved ones, and our future. Throughout history, we have always faced challenges, and today we must protect our culture.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Tropical storm Idalia heads for Florida's Gulf Coast. It's forecast to become a major hurricane by landfall. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
Some of them shows that it's already in central Florida by 7 a.m. on Wednesday. That would suggest a weaker storm because it's moved over land sooner, it's moved quicker, but it's moved closer to Tampa Bay, so the impacts might actually be worse there.
A suspect is in custody after a deadly shooting on the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill campus. CBS's Jeff Pegues.
Possible active shooter on campus.
In a massive show of force, police at the University of North Carolina swarmed the campus. Officers began evacuating buildings several groups at a time.
Police say a faculty member was shot to death. March 4th, 2024 is the trial date for the federal prosecution of former President Trump in the 2020 election interference case. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
He also said Trump's political schedule and business schedule will not be relevant. He has to be ready for trial.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Attention taxpayers, ready for some bad news? With $80 billion in new funding from Congress, the IRS has launched their most aggressive hiring campaign ever to ramp up enforcement. If you're ignoring your taxes, don't delay another minute because your paycheck, your bank account, even your home or business could already be at risk. Now, here's the good news. Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm, can get to work immediately, helping to protect you from the IRS. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, their tax attorneys and licensed professionals are experts at resolving tax problems. Let them help determine if you qualify for the Fresh Start Initiative or other powerful IRS tax assistance programs. Take control. Call Optima Tax Relief now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy.
That is like bringing me back. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis. Hey guys, this is Haley Cherry, producer for Native Roots Radio, on the host mic right now for Robert Pilot. Head on over to our Facebook and YouTube Live. We got Robert on the State Fair cam with his daughter, my cousin here, Jaleesa McKee. How's it going? I know we lost you guys on the State Fair cam for a second there, but it looks like we're getting back set up. Hey Robert, so yesterday was Indigenous Peoples Day out there, Dan Patch Park at the Minnesota State Fair. We got to see so many great Native organizations, some that we were familiar with, very familiar with, and some so that we were still learning about. And really, really great to have those people working in our community and alongside helping our relatives. Go ahead.
No, sorry. Absolutely agree 100%. Hey, I want to ask Jaleesa while she's on the air here a couple questions, if you don't mind. And I know you just cut us off because I know we got a good rolling coming in. But Jaleesa, before we get going here further in the show, what's your favorite fair food?
Oh, that's tough. I really like the corn. I feel like a go-to is the deep-fried pickles, to be honest, but I'm always down to try more things. I had a really good vegan corn dog yesterday, too.
Nummy. Yeah. Jaleesa, before we go, I know we got a nice interview coming up here. Who's your favorite father?
You, Georgie.
Yeah, right on. Okay, Haley, take it away.
Great job, Jaleesa. Great answer, too, to that question. Just wanted to say. Okay, so we'll dive in here. We got Mary Kunish, who, if you're a regular listener here to Native Roots Radio, Mary is our state senator. She is Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, and she joins us every Friday to give us updates about what's going on at the Capitol and what she's working on. So Mary here took over our host, Mike, and she is actually interviewing a very special guest. So why don't we take a listen, and you guys can find out who it is.
Hey, Haley. I'm here. This is Senator Mary Kunish, and I'm here at the Minnesota State Fair. I'm at the Senate booth, and right next to me is my good friend, Representative Bonner. Maybe you want to introduce yourself and tell the folks where you represent.
Fantastic. Thank you. I am State Representative Kristen Bonner of Maple Grove, District 37B. I'm currently serving my third term and my fifth year in the legislature.
You have carried a lot of really good legislation. I know that you were geared up to represent Minnesota when you were first elected because didn't you have something to do with the Women's March or something like that?
I did. I am an activist of an old hat. I am one of the original organizers of the Women's March of Minnesota that brought 110,000 allies to the Capitol for the largest single day event in Minnesota state history. I'm pretty proud of that tradition, and I've brought a lot of that passion with me to the Capitol.
So tell us about some of the work that you did this year. I know most folks know that we have a DFL, a Democrat majority, and I'm sure there were bills that you worked on that you've been working on for those 5 years so far. Tell us a little bit about the work that you've been doing.
Absolutely. You know, some of my favorites from this year that I've been able to work on is a resolution to Congress for the Equal Rights Amendment to finally get that published. It's been well over 100 years, and let's be honest, it is past time to get that thing published and make sure that we recognize that women and folks of all genders and ethnicities have the same rights and privileges as every single citizen. And that's what the Equal Rights Amendment in our state constitution is set to do. And we're looking to pass that for next year. So very excited about that. I also did a lot of work around domestic violence and closing gaps in the statute to keep folks safe in our communities. That is a real sense of pride for me. And thirdly, the really big one that I've been working on, and we came so close last session, and we're looking forward to passing it next session, is online data privacy and safety for children. Right now, I have what may be, by many industry standards, the best bill in the entire country that is literally set up to be a model for every state in the Union to keep our kids safe online. We're doing lots of work on that. I just recruited 4 new authors in 4 different states, and we're going to keep the momentum going to make sure that our kids can have a better, safer product.
You are just doing the most outstanding work, and I have to say that while I was in the House, I was able to pass the Equal Rights Amendment. The question, should we have that in our Constitution, off of the House floor? And I remember you sitting in front of me, giving me all the encouragement, and sometimes I'd be speaking on the House floor and like lose my train of thought or get stuck, and you would just look at me and give me that big smile, and that gave me the not only the courage, but the reminder of what the work that, that we've been doing. So we're hoping to get that done. I did again pass that equal rights amendment off of the Senate floor this year. We have to get it onto the ballot so that the people of Minnesota can decide if they want that in our Constitution. And I know that Kristen and I will continue to do that work. But what are you thinking about working on, especially this next session?
Well, and I think, first of all, I will say on getting that into the Constitution, you're right. The Senate has done the hard work, and it is now, the ball is in the House's court to make that happen. And the beautiful thing about, again, this piece of legislation is it's a very inclusive version of the Equal Rights Amendment that basically says we will not tolerate discrimination in the state of Minnesota, period, full stop. That is what it's all about. And I'm so excited for that piece of legislation. But for next year, I really do think there's a lot to do with the online data privacy online. I do have a bill talking about prior authorization. We've seen over the last few years that steadily we have seen more and more folks using prior authorization to delay care, to withhold access or create barriers to care. Doctors and physicians are frustrated. Patients are frustrated. And Dr. Morrison over in the Senate and I have been working on that bill. And I think we're going to have a very robust bill and some very robust discussion on how we make sure that we're getting to better patient care, and especially that preventative care to keep folks and especially Minnesotans healthy.
Well, speaking of healthy, we can't come to the fair without eating a lot of really good food. I myself have had a Prono Pop. I've had mini donuts. I've had some cookies. I'm waiting for my ice cream. What have you had, and what are you looking forward to indulging in?
Oh, I have favorites. Oh, you know, pork chop on a stick is a family favorite of ours. My dad would be remiss if I didn't say the cream puffs. Had some fabulous custard at the grandstand. But the one that I'm really looking forward to that I haven't tried yet is I have heard that the dill pickle pizza is out of this world. And when I talked to the nurses here from Healthcare for All, they told me it's a 5 out of 5 stars.
Oh my
gosh, that's a pretty high praise from the nurses. So I'm hoping to be able to do that. And we'll see what else we find along the way. But I think that's where I'm headed.
Yeah. Are you a ride person? Do you like to go on any of the rides here at the Capitol?
Well, you know, for the first time this year, I was able to go on the giant Ferris wheel with my niece. Oh. Ironically, in hundreds of thousands of people here at the nurse or the at the fair, I ran into my niece who caught me off guard. So I was able to go on the Ferris wheel for the first time ever. That was fabulous. The views are tremendous. Highly recommend. And we don't tend to go on as many rides unless the kids are here.
Yeah.
But it's always fun to partake. We took a nice trip down the Midway, won a couple little prizes. So I think we'll see what happens when the kids come later this week with my mom. I have nieces and nephews that range. They are 10, 8, 7, 6, and 2.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to have a full boat, and it takes a lot of adults to make sure to wrangle those kiddos. So looking forward to that later this week.
Yeah, bringing kids here is really a full-time, all hands on deck. I remember when I used to do family daycare, we actually brought the whole daycare here.
Wow.
We did lose one little girl, but she followed our directions, and we picked up with her really quick. Well, this has been really, really fun talking with you and seeing you here at the fair. Both Representative Bonner and I are in the education building. We are at the legislator booth. Go online, see who's going to be up on the days that you're coming to the fair, and we'd love to see you. And please remember to fill out our questionnaire. The one in the House is a little different from the Senate, so do them both, and we really appreciate it. And back to you, Haley.
Pinagigi Mary, thank you as always for just being on our show, being a part of our days here, and great interview there with State Representative Kristen Bonner. She represents the District 37B. So if you're in that district, congratulations. She seems awesome. That was my first time meeting her. She seems really great. So, yes, we've got just a few minutes left in this segment, but Dega, what else is up for you on your agenda today out at the Minnesota State Fair?
Well, you've done such a really good job. Jaleesa and I are going to go back and sell some more merch and leave the rest of the show with you. But we appreciate what you do for Native Roots Radio. And Jaleesa, what are your last thoughts here?
I just want to say thank you all for what you do. It's an honor to be here. And I am so honored to be in this family and connect with my cousin and my Jaji. And I just want to say I think we're very blessed to be doing what we're doing as a family together. And I also love the rides at the fair.
Which one?
You know, last night I went on the swings, that really big swings, and I forgot, like, how, like, it's just so fun, like, wind, and you get to see the whole midway. So I like coasters. I don't really typically love spinny rides, but I like the swings and some of the roller coasters. And when I'm feeling daring, the zipper.
Well, there you have it. You heard it first here on Native Roots Radio with my actor daughter here, right on. My right celebrity on. Daughter.
Great job, Jaleesa. Well, you guys get back out there, sell that merch, and go back. Yeah, listeners, get out there to the fair, West End Market, $20 resist t-shirt. So
yes,
go get that.
Support other Native artists.
Absolutely. Right. Yes. And I just got to agree too with you, Jaleesa. Great working with my cousins and my family, my Dig and my uncle here, and just a really great Ho-Chunk family. So, and shout out too, we were talking missing murdered Indigenous women and relatives, and there was Anna Negret who was out there, and her kids were Ho-Chunk. So shout out to them as well. Got to take a quick break here, but stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Oh! There is my lone wolf howl for the day. Hey guys, this is Haley Cherry, producer here for Native Roots Radio. Stepping up to the heist, the host mic for my Dega, Robert Pilot. He is out at the State Fair down at the West End Market, Native Roots Trading Booth. So go check them out, get your discounted resist tea and tell them Native Roots Radio sent you. We have got NAC, Native American Community Clinic, down on Franklin Avenue, is having their full moon ceremony this month. Will be happening this Thursday, August 31st, beginning at 8 p.m. This is going to be taking place at 2501 Cedar Avenue South. The items to bring to this ceremony, if you're going to be attending, which I will... I plan on being at this ceremony. This will actually be my first full moon ceremony. So trying to learn about it and just trying to learn what it's all about. So NAC here says items to bring, please wear a long skirt, shawl, or sheet. It is a potluck, so bring a dish to share if you are able to do so, of course. Feast bundles, bring your own plate, fork, spoon, bowl, and cup. Those are also encouraged. And we talk about full moon ceremonies being something that is more closely knit towards the women in our communities, but men of all ages are encouraged to join and learn about the duties of what it takes to be a firekeeper as well. So I get a lot of people asked to, like our allies, kind of like, what is a full moon ceremony? So just coming from, I'm reading this off of, this is from Turtle Lodge here, but full moon ceremonies happen each full moon of the year. And to acknowledge and honor our grandmother moon, to share women's teachings and teachings of the current moon, and just to share in a potluck feast. So for thousands of years, the Anishinaabe peoples have followed the 13 moons and lived balanced life along with nature, adhering to our spiritual and natural laws and following natural time reflected in the lunar cycle. So life on Earth is connected to Nkumes, which is the Anishinaabe Ojibwe word for grandmother moon, who regulates the tides and waters, stabilizes our Earth's position, and determines the cycle of women and birth of new life. Nkumes, or grandmother moon, helps us with healing and is strongly connected to human life, especially women. So every phase of Nkumes, or grandmother moon, has significance to our lives as humans, being in various stages of our life cycles and within the seasons of the year. So grandmother moon's 13 moons and phases have long guided the Anishinaabe people and other neighboring tribes as well, nations, in planting, harvesting, hunting, gathering, and ceremony. So for each and every full moon, the women lead and conduct a full moon ceremony. And for this particular ceremony, women on their moon time are welcome and encouraged to attend. And men are also welcome to attend for their support as firekeepers and protectors of the people. Food and cloth offerings are made to the sacred fire, and water is lifted. When blessing for the water is requested by a woman, water becomes sacred and healing water. Anyone healing or dealing with struggles such as addiction or domestic violence can overcome that by working with all 13 phases of the moon throughout the year. And if you attend 13 full moon ceremonies in a cycle, it is said that you will receive a great blessing. And the full moon ceremony begins at dusk on each of the full moons of the year. And everyone is welcome to attend this ceremony. So, and then again, they ask that you just wear a long skirt, sheet, or and then bring a dish for everyone as well. So that will be happening again. That's in partnership with a NAC, Native American Community Clinic, here in Minneapolis. Facilitator Nee, I don't want to pronounce this wrong, but I probably will. Nino Keshiweke will be the facilitator for that ceremony. So if you're going to be headed out there again, that will be at 2501 Cedar Avenue South this Thursday, August 31st at 8 p.m. So I hope to see you guys out there. And we've got NACTI, one of our other really great supporters here on Native Earth Radio. they put out a call for Indigenous artists. This is All My Relations Arts is now accepting submissions for artists to be a part of our next community art focused titled We Are Still Here cohort. And the AMRA and Hennepin Theater Trust invite artists to participate in a 9-month Native artist cohort. We Are Still Here. American Indian artists who identify as residents of Minnesota are encouraged to apply. This partnership with Hennepin Theater Trust, with funding from the McKnight Foundation, the program and its mentor will co-develop and implement a 9-month learning cohort featuring 3 American Indian artists with sage advice, mentorship, and training by an experienced artist with emphasis in community art. Artists will gain tools, expand their knowledge, and implement their training through a series of projects. So go ahead, check out Native American Community Development Institute, otherwise known as NACDI, their Facebook page, or check out allmyrelationsarts.org. Speaking of All My Relations Arts, to their current exhibit right now out there at the gallery is Inde Wisagindam, and that is My Heart Hurts. And that's a solo exhibition by Laura Youngbird. And Laura is of the Minnesota Chippewa Grand Portage Band. And she uses a dress as a metaphor. Her work addresses a wide range of social issues, injustices in the Native community, and biases. Through mixed media, combining drawing, painting, and prints, Laura explores the dress as a consistent and important symbol in her work. As this garment contains layer upon layer of meaning, the works in the series examine mixed emotions and themes such as common thread, loose ends, and threadbare. So go out and see that. That is right next to Powwow Grounds out there along the American Indian Cultural Corridor. So again, that's allmyrelationsarts.org. And just going to say to... it is going to be a blue moon for NACS ceremony. Yes, thank you, Shantina. Shantina, one of our Facebook Live viewers, thanks again for commenting that. That is something that I did want to bring up. It is going to be a blue moon this Thursday. So this extremely rare blue moon, it is a super moon, will be the brightest of the year, lighting up the skies this week. The lunar event will be visible on Wednesday, the 30th. They're predicting that this supermoon will rise at 7:10 p.m. Eastern time and set at 6:46 a.m. Eastern time on Thursday. And it doesn't stop there, too. So the blue moon of August 2023 will also be joined by a special guest in the sky, Saturn. So Saturn will be particularly bright the same evening that Wednesday night, as the gas giant will be at the point in the sky where it lies directly opposite the sun as it is seen from Earth. So all of you astronomers, get out there Wednesday night. Keep your eyes out for that blue supermoon. And if you're able, if you're a resident here close to the Twin Cities, would love to see you out there at NACS full moon ceremony this Thursday. So again, we are just going to be wrapping up the show here. I know we got about a couple minutes left, but if you're headed out to the fair, I'm sure you'll see Robert out there. Again, check out the West End Market, Native Roots Trading Booth, or Native Roots Trading Post, sorry. It is their booth out there. So again, go check out, we got new merch. I don't know if you saw Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, but she was rocking that Purple Rain dancer shirt all day yesterday. So big Pina Geeky to you, Peggy, for always supporting Native artists, Native businesses. And we really appreciate all that you do. And we'll be back tomorrow with Robert live at the State Fair, day 6. We'll see you tomorrow. We have to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and free Leonard Peltier now.
The kids are-
are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
...93.5, The Tap.